Apples and bananas.
I was singing, I was in the car driving home from school the other day, and Crash came on, Dave Matthews.
Yeah. I've never heard that.
And I started singing it in the car, and I just went like crazy with it, and I realized how much I love the line, A Boy's Dream, and so I just kept singing that, like, over and over.
And a boy's dream.
Crashed into me like a boy's dream. And it was just that.
Like a boy's dream. Are we recording?
Mm.
Are we recording?
Welcome to the podcast.
Come have a blast, step on the gas, smack a giraffe, it's the Fat Cats. Come talk fast, fast some gas, make it last. It's the Fat Cats, Fat Cats, Fat Cats, hey man, it's badass. Fat Cats, Fat Cats, Fat, 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 hey, it's the Fat Cats.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm Patrick, your host, broadcasting live from the Red Room this evening. Got a really good guest here. Matt Davis, say hello.
Hello.
What'd you do this morning?
I pooped.
Tyler Mullins is also here. How you doing, man?
Yes.
What'd you do? What did you do last night?
Homework.
Brian Bice, sir. How are you?
Oh, my name is Brian.
Fine.
What are you doing tomorrow?
I can't predict.
Dr. Kenny Shedna.
Oh, my name is Dr. Kenny Shedna.
All right, we need to talk about something serious.
Something serious.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
What
he's
talking about. ISIS.
No.
What?
The Egyptian goddess?
No. We're talking about professional wrestling and how it isn't wrestling at all.
I started watching Lost again.
Dr. Kenny.
What? No, he's...
Dr. Kenny!
He can bring it back.
So wrestling isn't wrestling. There's a video that was released last month.
Yeah.
Directed by Max Landis.
Kind of a sequel to a rant he had on a podcast.
Yes, that went viral.
Man, people post that shit all the time.
It comes up a lot. But anyway, so he decided, I guess, I'm going to assume from that, going...
Max Landis, by the way, son of the...
Yeah, John Landis,
one of my favorite directors ever.
Director of Blues Brothers and Thriller music video.
Animal House.
Burke
and Hare.
Yep. A lot of great things.
Yeah. But still made it. American Werewolf in London.
Yep. A lot of movies. He even makes a cameo in Wrestling is Wrestling. So Wrestling is Wrestling is like a 24-minute video that...
Which is a length that when you just see it at the bottom of the page, you think, eh.
Yeah, I don't know if I can do this.
I want to commit.
That's what, I think that's what Matt.
Not so sure.
That's what I did.
That's what Matt went through. I sent it to him and he was like, I don't know if I can do this. But once it gets going, like I couldn't turn it off.
Yeah,
once it started.
You kind of forget. It's not.
Yeah,
really,
I turned it on and I was like, I'm not turning this off.
Yeah.
It wasn't even, it wasn't for me watching it, it wasn't even until 7 minutes in that I realized it was 24 minutes, because I looked, it had been going on a while, and I was like, how long is this? Because we're covering a lot of ground here, and yeah. We still got a long way to go,
yeah.
So then I was like, oh wow, this is pretty long.
Yeah.
Filled with cameos from who's who of people. It's just a great video, especially for someone if you've never been introduced to pro wrestling.
Like me.
Like Brian Bice.
Now, Brian, your history with professional wrestling, is it totally non-existent, or...
Or have you ever dabbled?
I have literally never seen a full episode or...
Match.
Match. Yeah. That's probably a better word for it. The fact I couldn't even give you a good, segment name.
Right.
Just non-existent.
Gotcha.
It's a weird thing I flipped by on TV when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
To like
not stopping
to I Love Lucy.
Yeah.
Should we do a brief history of how professional wrestling became a thing?
We should even do a brief history of even saying us. I feel like because we've never really had like a wrestling episode.
I'm saying I was going to explain how the sport occurred.
Oh, then go ahead.
The genesis of
tell me
why it exists.
Yeah, go ahead.
Professional wrestling at the very beginning was performed in carnivals, traveling carnivals. Right at the turn of the century. And originally, wrestling was totally real. And everything was contested under the rules that we know it as you have to knock your opponent down and pin them for 3 seconds. Which, if you've ever watched any sort of human combat, that's really fucking hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the rules in place. You know, when every fighting Promotion has different rules where you're allowed to kick, but not here. You're not allowed to kick in the head.
Like you gotta just be super tired to not get up first.
Exactly.
It's just like, I don't care anymore. So I'm just gonna lay here for 3 seconds.
You pretty much have to knock somebody out, but if you just had to knock somebody out in a bare knuckle fight, most matches wouldn't last long at all. So you're not allowed to use closed fist, which is why you get all these weird moves like European uppercuts and weird workarounds, because otherwise, why wouldn't you just punch each other? Well, it got really, really popular. Really, really quick. People loved it. But the matches, as you might expect, went on forever. And so after a certain amount of time, people started to get tired of it, and they were like, well, I don't really want to sit here for an hour and a half waiting for the finish of this match. So they started fixing the endings, and they started putting them together in like 30-minute, 45-minute chunks, palatable chunks where people could actually watch. Mm. And originally it was just sort of, we know this is going to go for 30 minutes, and when it's over, you pin this guy. And it wasn't really... all the ridiculous moves just sort of evolved later. But it was interesting because it was popular in the beginning as a real sport, and then people lost interest, and then it got popular again as a fake sport. Yeah. And then everything just sort of evolved from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That, yeah, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. The history is, it's bizarre, especially I'm sure, I've watched it for so long now that it just is what it is. So, to me,
not that I'd ever given it like a full sentence of thought.
Yeah. Well, true. No, that's a good. This is a good point because what is your? Because you know most people have a general opinion if they've never watched it of what they think professional wrestling is. It's fake. It's I don't know. I feel like what's another like. General opinion of wrestling if you've never seen it, people
homoerotic.
Yeah,
there's that, sure.
I've never had a conversation with anyone that I've never had a full conversation with someone that loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So my just reflexive assumptions about it had never been challenged in any kind of way. Right. So if I'd had to fill out a survey or something,
right,
I just would have been like, it's a weird thing that some people think is real or just allow themselves to believe is real. And
knowing that, yeah.
I think that's true for a lot of people who aren't wrestling fans and don't have any friends that are wrestling fans.
Right.
They assume that wrestling fans do think it's real.
Right. Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
Which is crazy as a wrestling fan.
Yeah.
That
very
anyone
crazy,
would believe
yeah.
that.
Well, yeah. That's just it. Like, yeah. Like it's one of those things. It's kind of fun to find those assumptions in your life where as soon as it's challenged, you're like, oh yeah, right. Obviously that's not what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but that was a soap bubble that had never had any pressure applied to it.
Yeah.
And that's why that video was so revelatory to me. That's why I enjoyed that so much. I was like, oh,
yeah,
I'm okay. I'm yeah. in now. Like yeah. I was converted instantly into like a believer in the art form.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's why I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I recognized that it was operatic,
mm-hmm.
The same way that like long form comic books and soap operas are operatic. As soon as I got that, I was like, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Then I was suddenly enamored with it, you
right.
know? And I could watch it for days now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I am no closet wrestling fan. I think pretty much everybody knows that I like professional wrestling. I don't hide it. I feel like there are probably a lot of fans that don't reveal that they like it for whatever reason or thinking of what people would think of them liking professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. But I've had plenty of people. Once I've said, oh yeah, like I love it. Like if I've had it on or like, oh yeah, like you watch wrestling. Like, and it's true. Like everyone says, you know, it's fake, right?
Yeah.
I don't, it's like a given. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, you know, what's your favorite TV show? Game of Thrones. You know, it's fake, right?
But that's the thing. Like I remember one of the weirdest moments of watching that video was when when they summarized the story beat when he like kidnaps Stephanie McMahon
yeah.
and like marries her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that strangely enough, that is one of the like 45 seconds that I saw as a kid. I was flipping through,
right.
And I saw him being like, look at this video, or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I saw, like, I was like, obviously this would not work.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch Dick Van Dyke now. Like, that. Yeah. I remember that moment as a kid.
Dick Van Dyke is fake, Brian.
Stop it. He really trips every time over that chair. Every time.
Every time.
But that was probably the most potent moment in the video, because it brought me back.
Yeah.
Threw me back to a really specific moment where what turned me away from it was not that it wasn't a really dynamic set of characters doing crazy things, but because I was just like, who would believe this? Click. Yeah. For some reason, the way it's presented, I feel the need to defend people that say that. Yeah. Because for some reason, the way it is presented to the world, in a lot of ways similar to actual real world sporting events, makes it to the outsider seem like an exercise in fraud. There's a reason everyone says that. There's a reason that if I'd had that conversation with someone and had been a bit less informed, I might have said the same thing.
Sure.
You know, like it's now, again, now that I'm like converted, that's part of what I love about it. But it's also part of what is weird about it.
I see what you mean by that.
I think professional wrestling, I will never try to convince somebody that professional wrestling should be universally adored, because it shouldn't be. Yeah. It's very much a product for a certain type of person.
Could you subset
of the population.
Could you expand that a bit? Like, what's the group?
Well, I don't know what the group is. The group is whoever would buy it.
You can't.
Or whoever would willingly go in and suspend that amount of disbelief in order to properly enjoy it. But it's the same goes for whenever I like encounter a metal fan, like as in music, a metal fan, or
not like, titanium alloy, it's like this.
Or like a hardcore science fiction fan, or like somebody who plays like Warhammer 4K or something like that. Those are so like beyond my comprehension. And I just think, I totally understand why somebody could look at professional wrestling and think there's no way I could get into that. Like, that shit is so fake. It's so pitiful. It's poorly acted. It's poorly constructed. Whatever else. But if you can allow yourself to be in that position to actually think, okay, I'll let them have a pass on the limitations and the things that they don't do very well in order to appreciate what they do really well, then I can be okay. Some people aren't wired that way. Some people aren't going to be able to appreciate. It's okay.
So still maybe just keeping one foot on the other side of the threshold as like a non-believer or whatever, could you, the conversation between, you know, it's fake and yes, I do, seems to never get to the point. Like, tell me what they do well. Like, what's amazing about good professional wrestling?
The one thing that slightly bothered me about the video, there's no wrestling in it. And I get the whole video is about how wrestling isn't wrestling, but wrestling is what makes wrestling wrestling.
It is like the best part.
The matches are the best part.
Yeah.
Because you're watching two guys.
They're good matches.
You're watching two guys choreograph a fight scene live on television in front of you, and they're not getting hurt.
Yeah.
They're feeding off the crowd.
The crowd reactions, too, are what make, like, an amazing match, too. Because the crowd is just, like, just fully involved.
WWE gets a lot of flack for pandering to casual fans and trying to bring in your average American rather than catering to the hardcore wrestling fans. But
what's the difference? Like, what kind of stuff would be pandering versus catering to the hardcore fans?
There's a big...
Constantly bringing in names that are already established in the industry,
The Rock,
that everyone's going to know, like The Rock or Stone Cold or
people
The Undertaker.
People past names, not current names. That's the problem in today's...
Because wrestling is the turnover for great young wrestlers is constant. There's never been a lack of great young wrestling talent. There's always somebody.
Always.
And the biggest gripe amongst hardcore fans is that those people don't get an opportunity to shine
to succeed.
Bring their...
Because you're putting the spotlight on former talents who are established.
So in that way, it's a great synecdoche for the real world, where the baby boomers are really holding on to the jobs.
That's exactly right. Boy, Brian, You're really speaking to me with this baby boomer bashing.
All right. I'm in, guys.
Bunch of assholes.
I'm in.
Yep. No, this you're exactly right.
But yeah, the actual match is the best part of professional wrestling. And the story is only there to make you care about the match.
Mm.
Because if two guys just fight every week for no reason, who gives a shit?
Right.
Okay. Eventually, who gives a shit? Yeah. It might be great one night only or something.
Yeah.
But the story is what makes you appreciate why they're fighting. And the way that works, 9 times out of 10, is that there's a good guy and a bad guy. Wrestling really clings to that. They don't like gray areas. They don't like anti-heroes. Every now and then, anti-heroes get over really well. But usually you've got to
get over is a term, Brian.
Yeah, get over is a wrestling term.
Yeah,
it means to get over.
To be popular.
Be popular with the crowd. We might use some.
If you're over, you're popular with the crowd.
Okay.
And you can be over as a good guy or a bad guy. If you're over as a good guy, it means people want to see you wrestle. They want to see you on TV. They want to see you win. If you're over as a bad guy, it means people want to see you get your ass kicked.
Yeah.
You're not over as a bad guy if people want to see you go away.
Yeah.
That's not a good... That doesn't sell tickets.
Yeah, that's bad.
So the great villains.
Mm-hmm.
Can I hear a couple names?
Yeah. Ric Flair.
Like of all time or current... I guess all time, probably.
I don't know. Well, just whoever pops into mind is great villains.
Ric Flair, right,
definitely.
At the top.
Yeah,
he's probably the best bad guy of all time.
Yeah,
I mean he built companies based on the fact that people wanted to see him get his ass kicked.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is he the one in the suit?
Yes, Rolex wearing.
Yeah. All right,
diamond ring wearing.
The way he walks out,
limousine riding, jet plane
comes
flying
out of robe, and he's just.
I've just seen clips of him walking down that metal ramp, and I'm like, oh man, I don't like that guy.
Yeah,
all bad guys, for the most part, reach a certain popularity level where people start to appreciate the fact that they're hated
bad guys,
more than they hate them.
We probably are going to start using industry terms here. So bad guys are known as heels.
Okay.
In the wrestling world. Good guys are faces or baby faces. So faces and heels.
Okay.
That's good guys and bad guys.
Is Kane a heel?
Now, yes, he's kind of teetering that
wrestlers
line at the moment.
Wrestlers go back and forth all the time.
They go back and forth a lot. So
Undertaker?
So it'll say, you're turning heel. Or you're turning face, that means you're becoming a good guy. Or becoming a good guy. So right now, honestly, Kane has been a bad guy been a heel most of his career. He's kind of teetering the line.
He's unmasked now, too, right?
He's
unmasked. When I was a kid flipping through,
yes.
I remember seeing him, like, scary. Yeah.
That's one of the best wrestling storylines when they took the mask off.
Yeah, he unmasked in 2003.
Do you know why he wore the mask?
No.
Because as a child, his house was burned down.
Kane probably had the biggest backstory. Honestly,
Kane had a ludicrous amount.
Ever.
Nobody has as much backstory.
Yeah, nobody has a backstory like the character.
Because he comes in as
Kane.
The Undertaker's brother. They talked about him for weeks up until he actually showed up.
Nice.
So we knew all about him.
But we were just like,
and then
he
showed up and nobody knew who he was.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, that's...
Came up.
That's gotta be Kane!
He debuted and ripped the door off the cage and the rest was history.
But Kane, like... Okay, so like as a child, his house was burned down and he was scarred. And so when he came into the industry, he was all covered up. He had the mask on to hide the scars because he was embarrassed about the scars. And then when he was unmasked, there were no scars. Scars were emotional.
Oh! After years, right?
Yeah.
Gotta come up with a song, man. That's a good example.
So, I heard a lot of talk.
Wrestling
so, the
ridiculous.
Whole video, the whole video.
Yeah.
And all the talk I've heard since from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it all sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do the hardcore fans feel about the divas?
They want them. They want the good ones. Okay, the divas is really interesting because there's some divas who are great, legitimate wrestlers,
such as
super great, yeah,
such as Paige.
Paige, Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks is the greatest wrestler in the world. that's not true anymore. Sheamus returned, but
don't even get me started.
But yeah, Paige, AJ, who just retired. Natalia is an amazing wrestler.
There's a lot
Alicia
of really
Fox
good ones.
Has come a long way.
No, she's great. They just don't use her.
Yeah. But anyway, so the argument is, but WWE likes to sign marketable women, so they hire a lot of models and actresses or people who are, you know, people who want to get who want to.
The
be
thing
famous.
Too, we should also probably mention in this day and age in WWE, it's PG, quote unquote. So it's not like in the days of the late '90s when it was scandalous and, you know, women weren't wearing much and it was like, oh, it's like it's too hot for TV, let's, you know, it's shock TV, we'll watch, you know, see possibility of this girl making out with this girl, just like weird, you know, whatever. Nowadays, pretty much the females are there pretty much just for matches, and you know, they might have a couple of stories like here and there, but it's sometimes. Not. But it's not like it was 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But the biggest debate now, or at least the biggest gripe on online fans, is they're not given the proper time, or and I guess
they're not given the opportunity to show their skill set,
right?
Because they're always involved in either 1 minute matches that are filled on 3 minutes on either side with like shallow storytelling.
Yeah,
awful. The actual wrestling doesn't exist. I think most hardcore fans want to see the divas who are actually good at wrestling be given a
Have
chance
matches,
to wrestle.
Yeah. Mm. And that's the thing too, because the biggest joke for the longest time was on divas match. That's bathroom break. You can go if you're at a show. Who cares?
Right.
It's like you want to care, but they're not giving you anything with those storylines to make you care.
I used the word operatic earlier. Like they're not given that kind of.
The term is so tired.
I don't know how much I like him being back there.
I didn't even know he was over there.
I think he feels safe.
You said something.
I think he feels like a small man.
I just hear a voice from across. I wish we had like a window. We do like you're in a studio. Yeah.
I think he feels like a small man in a big pickup truck. Like impatient at a traffic
or
light.
A big man in a small hatchback.
Hurting his knee getting out of the car.
No, but there are some.
That didn't happen.
It did happen.
It happened.
It did happen.
That never happened.
It better have happened.
It did happen.
Not true. He hurt his knee. But it wasn't getting out of that car.
Whatever. Twist! Yeah. The ringside announcers go wild. Yep. It's just, and I'm being sincere, The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay is my favorite contemporary novel of all, of all time. Feel. That's kind of contemporary novel, full stop. and it's all about, the comic book industry in the 40s.
Yeah.
Which was such a fringe, just for kids, it's weird and stupid, selling advertising kind of industry. Of course, comic books now are like fueling so much of pop culture, and it's cooler now to like comic books than it's ever been to like comic books.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway, this reminds me of that, where it's like, in terms of long form storytelling, there's really no closer parallel for comic books than professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm. True.
And so it in that way, it feels like a light's just been switched on.
He needs to see Finn Balor's entrance.
I love that movie.
That's a comic book come to life.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We'll show you later.
All right. Right.
YouTube
wrestling wrestling had their day, obviously, in the late 90s.
Yeah,
many days.
2000.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point, I don't remember the exact number, but I've always read the stat like in 99 or 2000, like 60% of the t-shirts sold in America had either wrestling or South Park on it. Mm-hmm. They got ludicrous ratings.
Like 9.5s and stuff. Yeah.
Just
ridiculous.
Insane.
Out of what?
You'd never.
Out of 10.
150. We're not there anymore. Not even a little bit. And it's funny because people always talk about... It seems like it's important to a lot of wrestling fans that wrestling be popular. Like, their fandom is legitimized. Like, somehow they need... Or it needs to be justified. Like, mm-hmm. I like this thing and everyone else does too. And, for me, that's not true at all.
Which is a whole different conversation because some... I've always been fascinated by this conflict within myself too. Some fans desperately want what they love to be popular, maybe just for pure confirmation of self worth, or maybe for more altruistic kind of support of the artist that they love.
Sure,
plenty of other fans, maybe more fans, get pissed when something that they love gets popular. Like they spend so much energy saying, "You don't even know, like the second stage of the evolution of that Pokemon, you jerk." You know, and I remember finding, I remember blogging about that song, Somebody That I Used to Know, and how he sounded so much like Sting, and how I loved that. And then 4 months later, he was everywhere, and how that like pissed me off. And I remember interrogating that and be like, what is that? Like, I loved the song, and the artist has profited greatly from a great song. Like, right. What's, why am I upset about that? And it's a weird dichotomy. Like, some fanatics are desperate for everyone else to affirm their passions, and some are desperate to have everyone else know that they loved them first. It's really strange.
Right. The problem thing too with wrestling fans is I feel like most of them can never be completely satisfied.
Well, that's, ignore them.
I know that, but I'm,
it's not even worth talking about.
I know that, but it's
people who will shit. There's always somebody, and with the internet, everybody has a voice. And so it doesn't matter what happens, there's always going to be at least one person who very loudly is going to talk about how awful it was.
Right. And there's also, the problem is, too, there's a million different wrestlers on the roster, not literally a million, but it's like, you have so many favorites to choose, and there's obviously going to be, you know, you don't like this guy, you like this guy, you hate it when this guy starts, you know, they start doing more with this guy, or you don't like it when your guy's not doing anything, so there's like...
That's a good point. It's not like the wrestling industry, or the wrestling fans... are split down the middle. It's
not,
like half,
it's not like
half the
all,
people
yeah.
like this guy and half the people like this guy.
It's a
or
super
this group
split
of guys
opinion.
And this group of guys. Yeah. Everybody has their own favorite. Mm. So even the most popular wrestler in the company might only be like 15% of the fans' favorite.
Wow. Yeah.
So which means the majority of the wrestling fans feel like they're getting screwed every time one guy is in the main event.
Has the internet changed that, like, I mean, like, there's only so much prime time you can give to wrestlers. Like, has YouTube not revolutionized how the various 15% are given their day? Like,
no, because for a wrestling fan, it's all in the same show. It's a 3-hour show of Raw. There can only be one main event. Or each pay-per-view, there can only be one match for the
title.
So
it's still structured like
somebody's always getting screwed.
It's still structured like a show in that sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, because like, SNL changed when they could post unaired skits or...
stuff like that. Well, that's the thing, too. There's such a weird thing, because there's all this stuff that they'll air on their app during the show, or like even on YouTube afterwards, that's not getting aired on TV. Yeah, there's...
on the website.
Yeah, and then there's... a bunch of stuff that breaks fourth wall nowadays that's talking about the show.
Twitter.
From an outside of the
Twitter's
show.
Twitter's changed everything. Because now wrestlers can engage in feuds on Twitter when they're given no airtime on TV. And so fans watching two wrestlers go at it on Twitter, just talking shit to one another, have this idea that, man, these two have really got a good thing going.
Cena and Rock kind of started that.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Then you turn on Raw, you turn on TV on Monday... and those wrestlers aren't even on the show. And people are like, why aren't they being given time?
Yeah.
So
it's like, well, what are they? It's like, they're just doing it to, I feel like they're just doing it to use their voice and get noticed.
Yeah.
But.
And so fan demand like that.
Yeah.
Can change who gets prime time?
It can.
And it can also be bad, too. Because there are a lot of politics and, you know, from management standpoint, it seems like, in WWE, so there's a lot
Zach
of holding back.
That Ryder
is the perfect example of this. There was a wrestler, Zack Ryder. Oh, he's still a wrestler. I don't know why I say there was. I mean,
Zach,
I might as well say
Ryder.
There was.
Zack Ryder was at the very bottom of the card.
Yeah,
he could not have been lower on the totem pole.
He made hierarchy. And then he started a YouTube show and got
YouTube
popular.
Show.
Like, it was just like, why aren't they using this guy?
Like a 3 to 5 minute show a week, where he just. Did whatever, right?
Yeah. Whatever.
What do you mean did whatever? Like, what was the show like?
He would either perform skits, or he would have little segments of his own with other wrestlers, like his friends, on the road. And it was just, like, funny little segments, and he would, like, have call-outs to the fans and stuff like that. And it was funny, and people loved it.
Yeah.
And so it got to a point where he started telling his fans, like, hey, if you say something...
Fans were getting chanted.
He was like, I'll
or
get
fans fans were chanting for him. And, like, there was even a point where at a pay-per-view I went to at Madison Square Garden, after the main event was over, The Rock, this was after they were off the air, The Rock was saying something to the crowd, and they were just chanting for that guy, because he's from Long Island, and they were just chanting for him. And he's like, yeah, woo-woo, I hear you. You know,
you're
talking about him, so.
He got super over with the fans, and then the fans started demanding that he get put on TV and get put into, like, a good feud, and... get put into, like, a title opportunity.
And he got a title.
They did that.
A mid-card title.
They gave it to him. And they
took it away. They had
John
Cena kiss his on-screen girlfriend while he was in a wheelchair because he had been pushed off the stage by Kane.
He got thrown off
his legs,
stage,
and then he's never been the same since.
He got choke bombed through a stage. That dude, he got buried. Yeah. He got buried live on. He got what he always wanted, which was like a 30-minute segment every week on Raw, and for like 4 weeks in a row, it was just him getting the living shit beat out of him by Kane, and then he wasn't on TV for like a year.
Yep.
They punished him. They said, like, how dare you get over without us? Like, we decide who the stars are.
Yep. It's the most sad. Even if you didn't like the guy or not, it's like you have to admire him trying. Like,
he wasn't part of the plan.
Trying, yeah.
All right, so is there, I feel like to round out this conversation, it might be useful, at least for my sake, tell me a victory story. Like that was horrible, and it sounds like the suits win. Is that just the way it is all the time?
Okay, here's the problem with wrestling. There's no seasons. There's no beginning and end. It just goes. 52 shows a year, weekly. There's no breaks. There's no season finale. There's no mid-season finale. There's no final victory or anything. There's nothing like that. There's no closure.
It's just continuous.
You can have closures to feuds, but that wrestler the next day moves on to something else.
Yeah.
And the other one does too.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a constant stream. Yeah, people win championships and they have their moment on like the pay-per-view and everybody's chanting their name. But then a month later, they're in a completely different position and they're moving on with their career.
Fascinating. It's amazing.
So there's not, when you say victory stories, like
there are, they're just
there's
not
always moments where people like make it to the main event and then retire and everything's great. But there's not like a single moment usually that is the end of the story.
Yeah, okay, but what's popping into your mind is like the best fist pump moment in your viewing life.
If we're just going recently, Daniel Bryan had like one of the greatest like victories over the company, over like the power
easily.
A year ago at WrestleMania. Like, Daniel Bryan was a guy who wrestled on the indies. He was very popular. He was always a really nice guy, extremely talented in the ring. Everything he did in the ring, very crisp. Nobody gets hurt, right? Everything looks good. Everything looks brutal. Nobody gets hurt. It's the perfect combination of wrestler. And over time, the fans started to love him, and then he kept getting chanted and chanted, and people loved him, and then finally, last year, he got, after getting screwed, like, several times.
There was a strange chain of events that occurred that led him
it's way too long to actually
in the main event, but he did get it.
He got it.
Yeah. But the thing was, like, a month later, he got injured, which kind of, I don't want to say it took away from that, because it's still, like, a great moment. Like, it's awesome, but it's like you can say, like, well, that was a victory, but then, like, a month later, he got hurt. There are victories.
it's just another example of this being a form of storytelling that's kind of unparalleled, except in comic books. But even in comic books, there's no permadeath.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in this story, it seems like people can just go away and never come back.
And that's also true.
It happens.
Yeah.
Thank you for educating me.
Most come back, though.
But anyway, going back to Max Landis' thing,
even
the most important thing he said in that entire thing at the very end, which is important, it's the most important caveat to issue.
The 90%
any wrestling
thing?
Fan that or any potential wrestling fan, 90% of wrestling is the worst thing you've ever seen.
But when it's good,
most of it is terrible. But when it's good, it's great.
Yeah, it's so great.
Hmm.
I mean, Matt. I mean, you guys saw me at WrestleMania. I was pretty excited about a lot of things.
Like, he went bananas.
I did laughs. I was excited.
For me, I've always been a proponent of the ends justify the means. I really don't care how you get there sometimes, as long as the end result is either the
That's
right
the thing
decision
too. There's so much
or
in, like, with
where
especially
I wanted it to go. It doesn't really matter. And this WrestleMania was a really good example of that
because
the build-up to it, was like the worst ever. Everyone was so pissed about every episode of Raw leading up to WrestleMania. Everybody was just like, this sucks. This isn't going to work. this is going to blow.
And WrestleMania,
I'm not interested. I don't care. I don't want to watch the show.
Is it yearly?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then WrestleMania happened, and everybody went, oh, that was great.
Yeah. Everyone was like, this is the best show.
I wish I'd been there.
No, so good.
So next year, I want to be... I can't just watch it, because if I watch it, it'll be a bunch of nothing.
You
to
need
me.
To watch it with us.
Yeah,
you absolutely need to watch it with us. Right. Unless we go to Dallas.
Yeah. As long as we can bring my...
Yeah,
3-year-old and 1-year-old with me.
Family vacation.
Not his wife.
The bias vacation.
Say his wife. In there.
She'll probably be happy for take a vacation there.
Yeah.
All right. Next year, I'll watch WrestleMania with you.
Please
guys.
Do. All right, please.
Cool.
Hell, watch even something. We can watch another one soon.
We
monthly.
By the way,
it's monthly
also,
events.
We can always
it's
do a
important
replay,
to note
right?
that we haven't even brought up here. WWE is not it.
Yeah, there's more than just WWE.
There's 1,000 different promotions.
Yeah, Red Bank has.
There's one down
Red
Game
Bank
Boulevard.
Has the ticket.
I'll drive by it.
So it's important to remember that WWE is by far the major leagues, but there are 100 minor league farm clubs that exist, and they're all doing their own thing, and a lot of them are doing really great things.
Yeah.
So
fascinating.
It's on the money.
I'm ending the broadcast.
This is the end of the broadcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Marvin!
Goodbye.
On the next podcast.
When I think of Dave Matthews, I constantly think of The Office. When Andy's.
Deep tracks only.
I like it.
We've already been over this on the podcast.
That's true. I brought it up once.
Rekita et oi.
Exactly. That's it. You summed it up. In 5 useless syllables.
Dave Matthews and Pearl Jam, which one's better?
All right.
Which one's better?
I'm changing my vote.
To a bowstring.